Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm really excited about today's guest. She's an old friend, and I can't wait to introduce you to her. I have Wendy Tybus with me today, and Wendy is the president and founder of Get Movin' Fundraising. Wendy was a PTA president for her children's school and volunteer for years in the early 2000s. As PTA president, she brought the very first DIY fun run to the school and raised $28,000 in 2 weeks. It was a huge success at the time and prompted her devotion for engaging more into helping schools be successful. It was obvious that healthy donation-based fundraisers were superseding any types of sales-based fundraisers like junk food or unnecessary products. Parents jumped right on board with helping their child reach a donation goal while promoting physical activity. Through that experience, Wendy learned so much about what she could personally do to help reshape an industry and provide a new way for people to view school fundraising as positive for the future. It's my pleasure to welcome Wendy Tybus.
Hi, Belinda. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun. So, Wendy, why don't you just jump right in, fill in some of the gaps from your bio. I know a little bit of that backstory, but I want all of our listeners to hear that, too, and just tell them a little bit about that journey and where you're at today with your business.
Sure. I would love to. So, I hope that people can really relate to this because I never really imagined how everything would end up for me and where I have come in life. It's just kind of been really a whirlwind, and it's crazy that anybody can do what I've done. It's just got to stick with it. But anyhow, going back, back in the 90s, I was just a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to get out a little bit, so I ended up doing direct sales and wanted to get out, make a couple bucks a night, help my family out financially, and have some adult interaction time. I ended up being pretty good at that and really an independent, self-employed person in doing that, and it really taught me a lot about myself. I had organization skills I didn't realize I had. I had motivation. I was really excited about, you know, building it. So anyhow, I ended up getting to a certain place. And then as my kids grew, their lives changed and so did mine. So they were now going to school. I didn't want to be gone so much in the evening. So I started to kind of change my path. And I ended up becoming a school fundraising sales rep, peddling junk food to sell for a 40% profit to the schools. And when that happened, I also decided to become a part of the volunteer program at my school, which was the PTA. And in doing so, I was going to learn a little bit more about my client being a fundraising sales rep and who I was actually pitching to. And so selfishly, I kind of got involved and realized that that was a really good thing. And ultimately, 3 years later, I became nominated as a president for the PTA. Well, out on my quest to sell my junk food, two things happened. One, I realized that other schools were doing fun runs, which were more of a healthy approach to fundraising. And I thought, well, what that's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other side was that parents really didn't want to sell anything. They didn't want to, you know, pass around catalogs and sell junk. And the participation rates were just going down, down, down. And I saw that from not only a PTA standpoint, but also from a professional standpoint being in the sales. So lo and behold, once I was president, I decided to find out if my parents would like to continue on the sales-based fundraiser, go to a direct donation program, or institute something new called a fun run. And the overwhelming majority was the fun run. And when I say my parents, I mean the parents of all the children at the school. So I I polled all the parents, and the overwhelming majority was a fun run. We decided to start planning it as a committee of like 12 people. We didn't know what we were doing, but we took about 6 months, and we kind of pre-planned next fall's fundraiser. And that was in 2006 when we raised the $28,000 in 2 weeks. And it was such a huge success, not only monetarily, but also from a morale standpoint. Everybody was so excited. Parents came to the fun run. It was a celebration. Everybody achieved. We just had a great success with it on all levels. And even to the point where we over-raised money and we got to get some wish list items for the school that year. So anyhow, that led to a kind of a decline as well in terms of my career with the fundraising company that had actually decided to close its doors because that type of fundraising had seen better days. And so in December of 2006, I was without a job. And that was very disheartening. But, you know, the writing was on the wall. It's just a matter of, you know, doing it. So anyhow, long story short there, I ended up contemplating what was I going to do next, either go to another fundraising company where I was going to sell, you know, junk food or wrapping paper or something, or I was going to maybe try to invest and change an industry with where that's where my heart was. But my head was, I'm like, let's go with the more secure thing, right? So anyhow, I decided to take a small amount of money that my grandma had given me as an early inheritance and investing it into starting the Get Moving Crew, which is the former name of Get Moving Fundraising. And basically, right from there, I hit off, and my first fun run was a complete bomb, as you know. And I was actually working for you for a little while, Belinda, and helping you with the Power Hour for Leaders and trying to get that off the ground just to make some extra money while I still had that direct sales job, too. So I was actually working three jobs at one point. I was working for you, I was doing the direct sales, and I was trying to start the Get Moving Crew. So a lot was happening. But that's where the bio comes from. And now today we have a very successful company 12 years later. And I can, you know, elaborate on that more in the interview.
Perfect. You know, I love that piece of the story. And I think that it's what so many people have the same fear that you had is like, can I do this? Should I go the secure route? And can I really step out on faith and believe that in something that I really do believe in, like this was something that the industry of fundraising needed. And that's a hard thing for people to do. In fact, statistics show that like 8% of people really step out on that, you know, and take that leap of faith. I think we're seeing more people today do it because I think they're inspired by more people through the internet, through podcasts, through social media. And so I think people are actually getting to hear other people's stories and hear, they went through the exact same thing I'm feeling or that I'm going through. So I think we are seeing a little bit less of that, but that is a really great fear. And you talked about that. But I also love the fact that sometimes you just got to work really hard. And that includes creating different multiple streams to help you get through what can be a scary time. And so you were working for me part-time. You were still working with your direct sales business on a part-time basis and creating different streams of income there that would provide some little bit of the security, probably pay your basic bills while you invested your heart in your rest of your time in that inheritance into doing something that was super meaningful. And I know from knowing what I know about you, and I don't want anybody else on this podcast hearing it, it wasn't like this huge inheritance that you had, and that is really why you were able to step out in faith. It really was a combination of working really hard, balancing three different jobs at the same time, and following through with surveys, which I love, like really asking people, do you want it like this? Would this be more meaningful? I think that's why you got the buy-in of the parents from the beginning because you asked them for their buy-in in the way of a vote. And I know that we have found today when people participate in a survey, there's more of a buy-in and they understand the result. Well, we asked for it. This is what we got. And wow, now I need to step up because that's what I voted for. So there's lots of really great little learning points here that I wanted to point out before we move on.
No, that's true. Very true. Yeah, no, that inheritance was very small. It just bought the basics of what I could get started with. It's kind of funny. But definitely, that's just the launching pad that I was able, fortunate enough to have from my grandma, who I had her full support to at the time. She's passed on, but anyhow, she was a great, great help to me in terms of encouragement and saying, yes, you can go ahead and do that.
Oh, that's so awesome. So yeah. Tell us a little bit then how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
Oh, well, today it's wonderful because I work from home, which I have for a long time. I mean, really since the stay-at-home mom. And even in the fundraising phase, I was working from home and, you know, as my main base. And I'd run around and visit schools. But anyhow, I love that part because one of the things that I dislike most about life is traffic. So staying home and working from home is wonderful, and that's a huge benefit. But also, back in the day when I was running around doing physical fun runs at schools, so fun runs are walkathon, jogathons that are like kid style. We would go to the school and we would physically be there, and I would be on a stage doing a kickoff assembly, and then with my mascot, Movin' Max, he was a cheetah, and then we'd run over to, give out the pledge packets and send them home with the students. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, we would come back and we would do the actual event with a crew of people. And they were always fun. And so that brought a more of a physical element of lifestyle to me that I've kept. And so now I'm more conscious of health and my physical fitness and activity. And then, you know, in the off seasons when it's summer and when there's no school, I have kind of, you know, a break, which is nice because schools are out. Now we are planning for the next season, but it's not like high intense, you know, work. And then, in the winters, you know, it's sales. So, it's kind of been a really nice way of being able to work from home and have a great lifestyle.
That is great. I just really want to touch on something that, you know, is near and dear to my heart, and that's I've worked in the direct sales space for almost 40 years now. Next year will be 40 years, which seems impossible. I know, right? I just think, wow, really? But I really believe in that industry for a variety of reasons. But one of the ones that you hit on, and I used to tell this to people that I knew, they would say, well, I really would love to either buy this franchise or I'd like to own my own business. I have this great idea and I think I would be good at it. But there's this fear. And I'm like, you know what? Do a direct sales business. Try your hand at that. You will develop so many skill sets that it will not even be funny. I mean, you will get organization skills, you'll get presentation skills, you'll get people skills, you get selling skills, you get people skills. It's like, it's incredible. And time management skills. And I do believe that those are skill sets that carry you on into whatever business it is that you're going to do.
I agree. I'm a huge advocate of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm meeting young moms all the time and I'm a proponent of it. I say go for it because it will teach you a lot about yourself and what you're capable of.
Yeah, it really, truly does.
So, and it could be a negative too. You know, it doesn't always turn out like peaches and cream and nothing does. But, you know, you'll find out if you've got the, you know, abilities that it takes to do that. It's not an easy thing either.
No. And, you know, it's funny that you say that because a lot of people have said, I learned that I could not be self-employed. I was not a good self-employed person. Mm-hmm. And that's also something to learn if that's what you're thinking you want to do, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So let's talk about your skill sets then. What do you think are a couple of really great skill sets that you have really helped contribute to your overall success?
You know, this was a hard question for me. I feel like I always have the vision. I'm always thinking positive, and I've always got a goal, and I'm always trying to reach that goal no matter what I need to do it. And, you know, sometimes you got to go sideways around something to get to your goal, or, you know, you got to climb up and then climb down and then climb back up. It's never the same. But having that vision and having your goal in sight has always been important. And I learned something years ago in direct sales. And, you know, you post your goals so that you can see them, whether it's on your bathroom mirror, in your office, or on your refrigerator. But that is really a big deal. And then also never giving up on them. Like I said, getting around it one way or up and over it, back up and over it, however you got to do it. And then just having good common sense. I think that is, you know, when you're making a decision and using your gut, and if you're going to spend money, does it make sense? Is it a nice to have, or is it a need to have? You know, and just kind of those things I feel like are what have really gotten me through what I've, you know, where I've gotten. So I would say that.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm so glad that you shared that, because we're seeing as a trend that more and more people are not setting goals. Like the number is decreasing every single year of people that set any goals for themselves whatsoever. And we're certainly seeing it in the direct sales space, but we're seeing it in society as a whole. And a lot of that is contributed toward this fear of failure. But if I don't set a goal, then I've never failed. And I'm like, but if you never set a goal, you're never going to know when you've succeeded. So you know me, I'm a huge proponent of setting those goals and putting them in a place where you can see them and having a vision and really having a clear vision of sort of the end result. Like, where do I see this going? And sometimes it takes you in completely different directions than you thought. But if you don't dream, it'll never take you. And you don't set a goal, it's like that roadmap. You never go anywhere. You just kind of stand still. Or I see people being paralyzed in place with not really achieving anything because this fear of, well, what if it doesn't go right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes, right?
Yep.
That's how you learn.
That is how you learn. And that is how you know sometimes for it to take the path. I know for me, there's been so many times where I clearly saw this path and I headed on that path and then great things happened. But then there was a huge fork in the road and it took me in a completely different path. And that was okay, because that path ended up being something I didn't have on my horizon, but I would have never gotten there had I not just started on the journey in the first place. And then now that fork in the road has led me into an area that is so rewarding and so exciting that it just would have never happened had I just said, well, that's the way I'm going to go. And if I don't get there and that's the straight path, and then I haven't succeeded. So I just really encourage people to set those goals, put them up, get on a path, have a journey, have a plan, work the plan. Your plan may change, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. And you never know what can happen.
That's right. So tell us about one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that you're really proud of with your business.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that since I started Get Movin' back in 2007, we've had nothing but growth. So this last year, I'm so overwhelmingly happy that in the last school year, we raised $28 million for schools.
Wow.
And we did that nationwide in 48 states, and one of those states is Hawaii. Schools, with our program, schools keep 95% of what they raise.
That's amazing. It's incredible.
It really is. And I also have employed 20 people that have really nice livelihood, meaning they a lot of them are salespeople who are strictly commission, and they have, you know, built their business just like direct sales. I took the route of a direct sales basis when I hired my first sales rep, who was my first employee, and she's with me today as the sales manager. But she helped me grow, and she is responsible for so much success that we've had, and I just love her to death. But anyhow, that being said, you know, I could never guarantee somebody, you know, like a $40,000 or $60,000 a year job, because I couldn't just give them that money, right?
Right.
So you have to be careful how you, and that's something, going back to direct sales, you know, I was paid for what I was giving to the company, and that is exactly the model that I used. So those two things are what I feel are the most, are big accomplishments. One, I've created a fundraiser that gives the most back to schools, not only in way of money, but also in the way that it's being earned. Because now with Get Movin' fundraising, we no longer go to the schools. And I'll get to that a little bit, I guess. But anyhow, that being said, it's a healthy approach. It's educational for students and so on. So that is all stuff that I'm very proud of.
Oh, that is fantastic. And it warms my heart so much, because I remember the early, early days when it was just a concept and it was just a drawing on paper. And we got to look at the mascot, and then we all actually got to try on the head of the mascot, which was loads of fun. So when I think back on that, and it was just, you know, a school here, a school there, and it was kind of starting to grow. And of course, then you took off and started doing that more on a full-time basis. But to look at that now, which doesn't seem that long ago to me at all, actually,
I know.
It is amazing to me that you can sit there and think. And that's what I want people to understand is, wow, you went from like doing a school, right? Having a school here, a school there, to last year doing $28 million, raising $28 million. It's just so incredible to think a little idea with a little budget could turn into something that benefited so many. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So let's talk about sort of the polar opposite of that then, and about an obstacle or challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Well, I mean, I already said my very first fun run was a complete bust. You know, we went to the school as a crew of people. My mascot didn't show up that day. I had nobody to fill the suit. A volunteer from the school had to climb in the suit and act like she knew what she was doing. It was a complete disaster. At the end of the day, I walked up to my cheer people at the school with a big smile on my face, knowing it was no good. And I was like, so what do you think? And they were like, that was the worst. We could have done better ourselves. I was like, what happens. You just cry all the way home and cry all night long. And then I thought, you know what? I just want to quit. I failed already. What a waste. And then the next morning I woke up and I said, you know what? I have to go to work. And I went to your place and I did that. And then I went home again and just, you know, I said, I have 8 more schools relying on me this season to raise their money. So I had 9 schools that first season. And the rest of them went very well because I learned from my mistake. I picked myself up, brushed myself off, wiped my tears, and moved forward. And that season went well overall. And the next spring came and I booked more business, and the next fall came and I more than doubled the business. So from there, it just continued to grow. But that was probably the biggest obstacle that I've had to work through. And it was right at the beginning when I could have tossed it all away.
Yeah, it's real easy to do that. And the biggest thing that's in that of all, and I just want to identify this because I don't even know if a lot of people even hear it. Like, so that first one was a bust. And the biggest thing you said was, I learned from my mistake. I brushed it off and I learned from my mistake. But the crying and you're frustrated and it's sad and you have doubts and fear, that all comes from really from a place of ego. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
I failed. I didn't do this right. I blew it, or this whole big dream, now it's never going to happen. That comes from that feeling of how you're feeling in that moment, instead mm-hmm. of taking that focus and putting on, okay, what could have I done different? What could I do better? I still have 8 more people counting on me. So I need to like step it up. I need to up my game here, brush myself off, you know, and get moving. And that is a really hard place
It's a process.
I remember
first you feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah. And you question and doubt yourself, but that, mm-hmm. again, comes from that ego place. I remember mm-hmm. one of the first speeches that I did, I was trying to become a speaker, and so I had booked this seminar in Toronto, and so I drove all the way there because I couldn't really afford to. So my, in the beginning for me, if I could drive within a four-hour radius so that I could save and not have to fly anywhere, uh-huh. that's where I booked all my seminars. I had to be within 4 hours of travel time. So I had this one in Toronto. I booked the hotel, which was expensive, and then I sold tickets, and I got there, and I think 8 people showed up for that seminar, and the 8 people, the tickets didn't even begin to pay for the hotel room, and I didn't have a lot of money in the beginning, and I was doing everything on just this very tight budget, and so I couldn't even afford to stay the night, so the seminar ended at 10. And I was going to stay the night at the hotel, but I'm like, oh my gosh, that's another $100 and I don't know at the time, like $70 or whatever. And I'm like, I'm just going to drive home. And yep. I drove all the way home. So I didn't get home till, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember the whole way home, just having to talk myself off the ledge, but then also feeling like, oh my gosh, I failed. Like this was a huge failure. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants to hear what I have to say, and just lived in that space. And I remember I got home, and then after, believe it or not, after 2 o'clock in the morning and finally getting home, I'm pretty wired and I'm not tired. And I watched a documentary on Tina Turner and like her early days and then how she was famous and then she wasn't and starting over. And I remember the one piece, I watched the whole thing. So now it's probably 3:30 in the morning. And I remember she's like, if you get in front of enough people enough times, it's going to work out. Like someone's going to take notice. Someone's going to see something right. You got to just keep going. And she showed herself with this little, you know, tiny trailer that she was driving along to Holiday Inns and showed her part pulling up to a Holiday Inn when she'd already been famous at one point. Do you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah.
And that was it for me. I was just like, okay. I need to get off my pity party. Then mm-hmm. that's what it is.
Yep.
And I need to just keep moving with what I really want to do, like what's in your heart. And then I just got in front of enough people enough times, and then it just started to click. And I think that's where people get really paralyzed. And it's really easy today because they try starting a business on social media and they get out there one time and try to do something, and then it doesn't go like they thought it was going to. And then they do nothing. They just kind of sit at their space, at their computer, and sort of give up on it. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Another thing that I would really love to point out in the podcast here is that, you know, there came a point where schools started to copy our program, and rather than hire us, they started to do on their own. So that opened my eyes to a completely different way of thinking about the business, and how could I capture or keep these schools from, you know, leaving me and still work with them somehow. So at the same time, the BlackBerry had came out, and I kind of had an intuition, if you would, that the phone was going to become a big deal, and that we were actually going to be able to get the internet on the phone and be able to do things through the phone. It was not a premonition. I guess it was a premonition, but anyhow, at the time, it seemed like that was the way it was going to go. So I had to start thinking about, you know, how can I give schools something that they need for this fun run and not physically go? Because that was another thing. It became harder and harder to go to the schools and do. We were limited with the amount of time you have up here in Michigan and, you know, the nice weather in the fall months and even in the spring months and, you know, go do the events. So anyhow, long story short, that's how the company actually morphed. We morphed from a full service company, which was something that was duplicatable, and we totally transformed it by reshaping the company, which was a huge obstacle because people kept, you know, leaving, and we reshaped it into a technology company, which is what it is today. So rather than we stopped full service about 3 years ago, and now we are strictly an online software platform that schools subscribe to for their fun run, their readathon, their dance-a-thon, their jog-a-thon, their cash drive, whatever type of fundraising event they want to host at their school. They do it on their own, and they, you know, we coach them, we help them, we give them all the tools that they need. And that's why we've become so inexpensive as well, because we no longer have to go to the schools. Everybody stays at home and works. We keep our costs down, and we're able to, you know, give so much back to the school in way of their profit. They're doing their own events now, but that's the direction they wanted to go anyways, because they were copying us.
So exactly.
That was another huge obstacle. And that's what I'm kind of going back to, you know, how you get to your goal, right? I never envisioned that. When I started in 2007, I never envisioned that my company would eventually become a software company. And that's just, you know, going around to get to your goal, or going up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill. You know, it's just crazy how we ended up here, but it's wonderful.
Absolutely. And I think that's exciting. And I think you're right. Again, it was like, okay, people are copying me. And I've heard other people say, now, you know, how long is that going to last before somebody else has that idea? And I've even had people like talk about inventing something and then saying, well, so-and-so's already got something just like this. It's like, it doesn't even matter. And, you know, that's what Amazon even says. It doesn't matter if you do it better, if you do it well, if you do it the best, if you make it easy for people, or whatever the situation is, people are still going to engage with you.
Yep.
And I love it that you didn't ever envision being a tech company or a software company, but look where you are. And then that's allowed you to actually reach more people and actually be able to do more fundraising events and grow your company even larger. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Oh, it means so much. First of all, I love working from my happy place. Would mean to I love to constantly learn. I love to, you know, realize that I can make other people's dreams come true, which I feel like I'm doing that with the people that I'm employing. You know, they're growing, they're learning about themselves, they're making money, and we're all helping each other get there, right? But also, I love that I am a part of something. My happy place, to answer your question, is that I am a part of something bigger than me or anyone. I'm part of students having a great school experience. And that goes for every student, whether you're, you know, at a really nice, wealthy school or a really bad school, because all schools fundraise, and the PTAs and the PTOs are there to help children have a better school experience, whether it's a family fun night like movie and and popcorn night, or a school fair, or maybe it's new playground equipment. All of the things that the PTAs and the PTOs are doing for students ultimately affects the student positively. And the fact that we are able to help them raise the money to give the students these extra things is just really my happy place.
That's awesome. And I think that that is, I don't know, it is for me too. It's just like, I just want to make an impact. And that's why we do the show that we do. We're hoping to make an impact with other people out there that are saying, gosh, could I do this? Or what do I have to offer? And then they see themselves in other people. Like, I'm just like her, and look at her, and she's doing it, so I can do it. And so it just makes me happy too. So I'm really glad to hear you share that. And I think that people have sort of been involved in being sort of self-employed, self-motivated, that have worked with people, that ends up being a lot of their passion. It's what drives them to continue on doing what they do day in and day out over a number of years.
Yep.
So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to be entrepreneurs, that maybe they have an idea of their own themselves, and they're like, gosh, or they're not happy with, they're unfulfilled with their lifestyle at the time and would just like to change that, or whatever the case may be.
Oh, You know, I think I've got three things that come to mind. And the first one is that you'll need to believe even when no one else does. Because when things get tough, you just need to keep believing in what you are capable of doing and get there. And then I would say be open to change, because in today's world, things can change on a dime. I mean, they change on a day-to-day basis with technology. We are constantly keeping up with technology and the changes. This particular fall, we're launching a brand new system, and it's going to have all kinds of bells and whistles that we've never had before because of change. And a lot of people are scared of change. Mm-hmm. So you want to be open to it. Make yourself be more open to it if that's a struggle. And then enjoy the whole experience, because it goes by so quick, and it's not a get rich quick thing either. You've got to be patient with money. I mean, I laugh because I thought my idea was so great and so awesome, and everybody was going to love it, and everybody was just going to flood in, and I was going to be a millionaire in a year. Well, guess what? I'm still not a millionaire. And it's okay. Because it's been great, and it's just wonderful to have that experience and enjoy it. It's about the journey, not the destination.
That is great advice for sure. So you've kind of alluded a little bit to it, but what are some new and exciting things that you're working on? And then I would love you to share how people can find you.
Sure. All right. So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, how the company has changed from full service to now an online platform. Well, back in the early days of the online platform coming to fruition, I couldn't afford it. I mean, I was getting sticker shock from people, you know, saying, oh, you want to build something like that? It's going to be, you know, $100,000 or this or that or whatever, lots of money. And at the time, no, I couldn't even think about it. And nor was I ever going to go into debt. It was one of the things that I promised myself, is I was not going to go into debt and put my business in peril over risking like that. So I didn't do that. I ended up coming across a company that offered to build the system for me. And instead of paying them for the system, we would enter a contract together. They would build it and I would be the architect, and they would take a piece of every donation that came through. So I agreed to that. That contract ended up lasting 7 years, and I'm so excited to say that on July 1st of 2019, so just, you know, about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, we became 100% independent and launched our own software platform called FundHub, and it is full of way more features and benefits for the user from a parent level, teacher level, obviously the chairperson. And we have got so many great new bells and whistles on it for like text to share and incentive tracker for keeping track of student incentives, Spanish translation for any parents that speak Spanish and they want to know what's going on, but they can't articulate the software because it's all in English. So just so many great things that we're trying to, you know, make it better. And now FundHub is completely ours. We don't have to, you know, pay that cut anymore to the other company. And it's going to be just a great fresh start for us. We're so excited.
That's very exciting. Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're really excited about it. We're going to have 1,000 schools this fall. And we're in the midst of getting all of them ready, set to go.
That is great. And you know what I love about that, Wendy, as much as it is so exciting that you are on your own, it was 7 years that you had that partnership. It was a way to get where you needed to be without having a program like that can cost a couple $100,000 to get completed. And I hear people, yeah, I don't have that money to get something like that done. But you found a way to partner with someone where it still was a win-win until you could be able to do that on your own. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And it is absolutely exciting. And it was a solution to a challenge at a time that led you to where you are today. And that's what people need to understand.
Yep. Patience.
Patience.
Patience and saving money.
Yes.
That's another thing. I didn't want to take a loan for this new development either. So for the last 3 years, I've been building and I've been paying in installments as we build. So, you know, that we didn't have to go into a backward spin in terms of the financials of the business. You know, so you got to have patience. Think, like I said, I thought I would be a millionaire in a year. Well, I need patience. I needed patience and I didn't even know it then. And you always want the least path of resistance. You want the immediate gratification, but that's not what it's about when it's about the journey, not the destination, right?
Right.
It's about taking your time and enjoying the ride.
Absolutely. Well, this has been delightful, Wendy. And can you tell our listeners how they can find you? And especially those that are out there, we have lots of parents that listen to this show and they're someone that's listening to this show is involved with a child somewhere who's at a school who are trying to raise funds. We're finding that this is needed more and more through the schools with the different programs they want to implement, everything from playground equipment to school field trips to supplies within the school. I mean, the list goes on, and it's growing all of the time as to what the schools need. So I know that fundraising is definitely an important piece, and to keep 95% of that is an incredible way to go. So how can they learn more about your program and how can they find you?
The best way to find us is through the web, and that would be going to getmovinfundraising.com. And there's no G in moving, it's movin. Getmovinfundraising.com. And then taking an online tour of our platform is the best way to really see all the features and benefits of the program itself. Student web pages are really what we're all about, and there's lots of information on our website about them, but the student web pages are pages that parents control via their phone. They can share them via email, social media, or text message, and when they share those web pages, they average raising $120. So that's what we really try to push, is first parent registration, adding their child to their fundraiser, and then sharing that web page with the cute little picture of the student in it. And they just, you know, friends and family just click that donate button like crazy. It's wonderful.
Great. That's exciting. Well, thank you so much, Wendy, for sharing your inspiration with us today and sharing your story. I know it's going to inspire many and it's going to help lots of parents out there in schools that are looking for an alternate solution to what they're currently doing. And I just want to say to our listeners that if you enjoyed the show today, please leave a review. It's really great for both Wendy and myself, as well as Work From Your Happy Place. And it's really great for people that just happen onto the show. You know, that's what inspires them. We hear so many great stories of, I started listening and then I was able to start my own business. It gave me the confidence. So please leave a review because it means a lot for a lot of people, not only us, but for the folks that are scrolling and looking for something meaningful. And if you want to never miss a single episode, then subscribe. A lot of people don't realize that by subscribing, they'll always get notifications and you'll never miss a single episode. And it certainly does help us at Work From Your Happy Place. So again, Wendy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Belinda. It was my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.